Okay, let's learn a little now that at least I've eaten lunch. Everyone should feel free to continue to eat. There's plenty of food. There's also potato salad down here. I think there's a coleslaw down there. Drinks in the middle. And then Leopoldo, you brought the cookies?
No cookies.
I don't have somebody who bakes for me there.
Yeah?
He's not available.
Yeah. Okay. Hopefully soon.
Hopefully soon.
So I figure it's Rosh Chodesh. So I guess we'll start with Chodesh Tov for everyone. I'm not going to make anyone sing because we all know how that ends. It ends in just me singing. And
you have a good voice.
Thank you. Tell that to my wife.
You've been to Shaul Shunas here before then.
Yeah, once or twice. But I want to discuss a little bit about Purim because Purim is only 2 weeks away from yesterday. So it happens to be that, I mean, I've had my costume now for a couple months. I can't tell you what it is. It's a surprise. I can't ruin the surprise. But all I can tell you is that when I bought the costume on Amazon, I didn't spend so much money. But Yava asked me, she's like, do you really want to spend so much money on a costume? Because historically, we've gone to the dollar store. So to buy something on Amazon was like a big thing. But I said this year I'm not going to take jokes about my costume. This year I need to make sure that I'm all in on the costume. So I'm very excited, although I have to test out the costume to make sure it works. But anyway, I'm very excited. 2 weeks from tomorrow, I'm going to get to debut my Amazon costume.
But it works.
Oh. Now you're excited.
Is there a motor in there?
Mm-hmm. Now you're excited.
Mm-hmm. Batteries?
Lights? Maybe it's a bubble machine. So I figure it's 2 weeks away, Rosh Chodesh Adar, we should talk a little bit about Purim. So one of the unique things about Purim, and I think this comes up often, is that Purim is one of the few, it's one of actually only two holidays that's really only rabbinic in nature. Totally rabbinic in nature. And so I saw an interesting question. I've never seen this asked before, but it was asked by someone far greater than I. I saw an interesting question about whether Purim is a problem of Baal Tosef. So we have this prohibition of adding on to the Torah. So Rav Moshe, apparently he had this whole discussion about whether Purim was Baal Tosef. So just to give some historical background, Rav Moshe wrote his famous work is the Igros Moshe. It's a set of books. When I graduated college, I like to tell this story. When I graduated college, I had very basic Hebrew skills. But I got a lot of checks, so I went to Lakewood, and one of the two things I bought was a set of Igros Moshe, because I was so obsessed with Rav Moshe. I just felt like he got it. He's just a very down to earth in everything he says. And so, just to give some background, so the first couple volumes of Rav Moshe, he lived in Soviet Russia, and he did something that was illegal to do in Soviet Russia. He was a Jew, and not only was he a Jew, he was a rabbi. So he was a very smart rabbi, and he was known as being a very smart rabbi, but, you know, according to the government, he was a criminal. And so what they did was they actually put him on house arrest. And so the first couple volumes of Igros Moshe, he had nowhere to go. He couldn't leave his house. He couldn't go to the store. He couldn't go to davening. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't go to the movie theater. Couldn't go to concerts. And so he would ask these questions, and he would just sit at home, and he would write. And he had such a wealth of knowledge, and he had so much time on his hands that he wrote these incredible tshuvos. And so there's this correspondence in the Igros Moshe with his uncle. His uncle, he calls him Dodi Kantarevich. His uncle, his last name was Kantarevich. They both lived in Belarus. And so they go back and forth, talking about Baal Tosef. And so the question comes up, is Purim itself an issue of Baal Tosef? Is Purim itself an issue of adding on to the Torah? And so generally, when we think about a mitzvah derabbanan, generally what we're thinking of is something that protects something else. Like on Shabbos, you're not supposed to wring out your hair. I go for the beard because I always think about, you know, it's a question for the Hasidim who go to the mikvah. You know, I don't go to the mikvah. I don't try to dunk into this little thing on Shabbos morning. But you have Hasidim who go to the mikvah every single Shabbos morning. And so there's a question, can they wring out their hair? And so wringing out the hair is an Isser Derabanan, because we're worried that if you wring out your hair, maybe you'll wring out your clothing, which is an actual Torah prohibition. There's also, like, it's a Derabanan shaking the Dalet Minim every all 7 days of Sukkot. It's also a Mitzvah Derabanan. because we don't want to forget that in the base of Mikdash, they used to shake the lulav of an esrog all 7 days. And so therefore, what do? Is we shake it all 7 days here, even in San Diego, so that we remember in the base of Mikdash, when it's rebuilt, hopefully soon, it'll be all 7 days. So typically, when we think of a mitzvah derabanan, it's something to protect. So the question is, but here, we're not, what are we protecting? We made up an entire holiday. We made up a holiday with all of its mitzvot. There's no, I mean, reading the Megillah, it's, you know, it's similar to other mitzvot we do. Reading the Torah, as the rabbi said this morning, we've read the Torah now 3 days in a row. So we have a chazakah, so therefore we have to read it tomorrow because we have a chazakah. We've done 3 days in a row of reading the Torah. But Mishloach Manos, Matos Le'Avionim, all these other mitzvot, there's not really a precedent for them in the Torah, besides giving tzedakah, but you can't use your Maaser money to give it. It's its own separate mitzvah. So it seems like, at first glance, what we're doing is we're adding a mitzvah to the Torah, and so maybe it's a problem. So he answers two things. He answers source number one from Devarim, so where it says, the Torah says, lo tosef alav, you're not allowed to add on to the mitzvahs, and Rashi over there says that what does lo tosef alav mean? It means chamisha totafos. You can't add, when you have the tefillin on your head, you have four different parshios in it. You have four different chapters of the Torah written in your tefillin. So you can't add a fifth chapter. He says that's a problem. Chamisha minim belulav. We have dal minim. You can't have hay minim. We shake four species on sukkahs. You can't have five species on sukkahs. Arba brachos lebirkas kohanim. When the kohanim get up, they say three brachos for the entire congregation. He says you can't add a fourth bracha. So if you look at the words of Rashi, it seems like what Rashi says Baal Tosef is taking a single mitzvah and adding on another element to it, adding on something additional to it. But to add a whole new mitzvah, so he says, Rashi's quoting the Sifri, we don't see from the Sifri, which is the Medrash, that you're not allowed to add a whole new mitzvah. So that's proof number one that he brings. And proof number two, he brings the Gemara Megillah over here, where the Gemara says, Shalcha lehem Esther lechachamim. Esther wanted, she asked the chachamim, she asked the sages of her time, Kisvuni ledaros. She said, I want to be written down for generations. She was actually fighting for Megillas Esther and the holiday of Purim to be something that was recognized by the rabbis. And so at first, They answered back to her, Sha'ochu la, they answered back to her, Halo kasavti lecha shalishim. It says in Mishle that when Amalek is referred to about the mitzvah to wipe out Amalek, it's only written three times. Shalishim v'lo ribiyim. It can only be written three times and not four times. And so they say that it was found three times. The mitzvah of wiping out Amalek is found twice in the Torah, and it's found once in Sefer Yehoshua. So they said, we have a quota of three times talking about wiping out Amalek. You want to add your Megillas Esther, which is going to add a fourth mentioning of wiping out Amalek. We cannot do that. And it says, ad shematzu lo mikra kasav b'Torah, until they found a pasuk in the Torah, it says, kasav zos zikaren b'sefer. So kasav zos, so you should write this, ma shekasuv kan uba mishnah Torah. So he says, so that means what's written in, that's what means what's written here in Shmos and also in Devarim. Zikaron, a remembrance, ma shekasuv b'neviyim. So remembrance means that which is written in Sefer Yehoshua, b'sefer, ma shekasuv b'megillah. So therefore they found a fourth time to write about wiping out Amalek. So now we're able to add Megillah because they were able to darshan this pasuk. So, without getting further into understanding the Gemara, Rav Moshe says simply, what does the Gemara not ask? The Gemara doesn't ask, how can we add a mitzvah to the Torah? That's a problem of Baal Tosef. That's a problem of adding on additional mitzvahs. So therefore, Rav Moshe says, since the Gemara didn't ask the question, what we see is that it wasn't a question. They would have known if it was a question. Since they don't talk about it as being a question, it's not a question. So that was just a long way of saying that there's no such thing as Baal Tosef by adding on this holiday of Purim. We can celebrate Purim in 2 weeks from tomorrow. We can have a good time. We don't have to worry about doing that. We're going against the Torah. We're going specifically with the Torah. But the reason I brought that up is because I thought it was a fascinating question and a good introduction into the following. At the end of Megillah, at the end of Megillas Esther. So the Megillah, that's where the Megillah lays out all of the different mitzvos that are going to be Purim. After it tells us the whole story about Esther and Mordechai and Achashverosh and Haman, so then and the whole the happy ending to the whole story, then it starts getting into all the different mitzvos that are going to be that they established for the Jews to remember this miracle that happens. And at the end, famous words of the Megillah, source number 3, Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim aleihem v'alzarim v'alkal nilvim aleihem, so that the Jews, they were Kimu v'kiblu, they upheld and they accepted on themselves and on their offspring and on everyone who was with them to do all of these mitzvot. V'lo yavor lios osim es ha-shnei ha-yamim ha-elek. And they never missed doing the mitzvah of Purim at its proper time, on its proper date, in its proper way, each and every year. And so these words of Kimu v'Kiblu, these words are picked up, they're noticed by Chazal, and there's two different interpretations of them. And it's fascinating because these two different interpretations are very different interpretations. The Gemara Megillah, source number 4, says, Kimu v'kiblu, kimu lamala, masha kiblu lamata. That the Shemayim, the heavens, upheld what they accepted upon themselves down here. Like we said, they made a whole new holiday. There was no precedent for Purim anywhere in the Torah. They made a whole new holiday. And so we had the question, well, maybe they shouldn't have made the holiday. The Gemara says not only are they allowed to make the holiday, in Shemayim it's considered a mitzvah. We're going to put everything on hold. In 2 weeks from tomorrow, we're going to put everything on hold to celebrate Purim. The Gemara actually talks about what if you're in the middle of learning Torah. So the Gemara says you stop learning Torah and you go hear the Megillah. We put everything on hold for Purim. And so, as the Gemara says, Kimu v'kiblu, Kimu l'mala, Masha kiblu l'mata, that Shemayim sees it totally as a mitzvah, totally as a holiday, like any other holiday. The Gemara in Shabbos, however, is talking about when the Jews were at Har Sinai, Parshas Yisro, a couple weeks ago. It happened today. I was teaching in Sky High, and we quoted some pasuk in the Gemara from Devarim, and someone said, "What Parsha is that?" And someone else said, "Parshas Yisro." And I said, I'm not going to respond to that. Because Parshas Yisro is in Shmos. So what we read a couple weeks ago in Parshas Yisro, and Rashi says over there, that they stood underneath Har Sinai, and Akash Baruch Hu held the Har over them, Har Kigigas, like a barrel, and he said, if you want to accept the Torah, great. If you don't want to accept the Torah, this is going to be your burial place. As Rabbi Bogopolsky spoke about in his Drasha. Of course, we all remember every single drasha, every single rabbi gives every single week. Me too. So as Rabbi Bogopolsky spoke about a couple weeks in his drasha. So the Gemara over there says that essentially they were coerced to accept the Torah. And then it picks up on these words, Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim, they upheld and they accepted, the Jews upheld and they accepted, Kimu ma shekiblu kavar. So it says the days of Purim, the Jews re-accepted the entire Torah. They were coerced originally, and then on Purim, they re-accepted the entire Torah. So, at first glance, it makes a lot of sense the way the Gemara in Megillah reads it. Kimu v'kiblu, kimu l'mala masha kiblu l'mata. That Shemayim saw Purim as being some sort of holiday. That in heavens, they accepted what the Jews had accepted upon themselves. But this other interpretation that they accepted before what was already accepted, so what does that have to do with Purim? How does that have to do anything with the Jews accepting Purim onto themselves? Great, they re-accepted the Torah, but how does that have anything to do with the fact that they made a whole new holiday? They made all these new mitzvos. So I saw a fascinating interpretation from Rav Chaim Friedlander. Rav Chaim Friedlander, Zatzal, blessed memory, was the Mashkiach in Panovich in Eretz Yisrael, and he has many svarim. They're all called the Sifsei Chaim, the Lips of Chaim, and he's the best. Whatever you want to know about, he's the best. He has great interpretations on Tefillah. He has great interpretations on the holidays. If you're here for Pesach, the version I got not only as permanent as Pesach, so you'll probably hear more of Chaim Friedlander on Pesach in one of the drashas. But he has a fascinating interpretation where he talks about both these Gemaras, Isra, Baal Tosef, and he says that it's really all kind of fits into one idea. he says that the Gemara in Megillah actually works with the Gemara in Shabbos. So the Gemara in Megillah said that it was accepted above or it was upheld above what they accepted upon them down here. So he says, just like the Jews got excited, they added a new mitzvah to the Torah, and so therefore, or they added a new mitzvah to their observance, and so therefore there was this addition, and they got excited about the mitzvahs again, so then, kimu masha kiblu kabar. So what that led to was them reaccepting the entire Torah all over again. They had added this new element, and this new element gave like a rejuvenation to everything that they were doing. And so since they felt rejuvenated, it wasn't just that they felt rejuvenated in this one area, it kind of lent itself to every other area. I was thinking about this a lot, actually. This took up a lot of time. I have a lot of time in the car, so this took up a lot of brain space in the past couple of days. And I was thinking about this. This is like a pretty good, I think this is the best timing for this of anything. So, because if you think about it in context, so Purim is 1 month before Pesach, which the dreaded Pesach, right? People joke. There's 8 more weeks till Pesach. You know, I'm depressed. There's 8 more weeks till Pesach. Or now we're what? 5, 6 weeks away from Pesach. So people are already starting to get nervous. If you ask me, it's not such a big deal. But didn't ask me, they asked a friend. They said, I've done all my Pesach cleaning and I have no more energy. Do I have to clean my fridge? And my friend said, the only thing you have to clean is your fridge. Why did you waste so much time on the baseboards and everything else? The only thing you have to clean is the fridge. But we have this like dreaded Pesach, but this Purim comes right before Pesach, and so if you have this rejuvenation, what is Pesach essentially besides the cleaning and the matzah and all these things that we don't like so much? Pesach's really this night of passing on our Masorah, and it's our night of reconnecting to our Masorah, reconnecting to Judaism, remembering how we became a nation, remembering what makes us Jews, what makes our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu special. Because before Yetzias Mitzrayim, we didn't really have that relationship. We were just kind of, I don't know what we were, enslaved. We were nothing so amazing. And so we have Yetzias Mitzrayim, and it's our night not only to pass it on to the next generation, but to kind of remind ourselves and make ourselves re-excited. And so therefore, if you have this re-excitement of Purim right before Pesach, so that gives you that energy. And if you have the excitement of Pesach, and that will lead to the rest of the year, so then hopefully it rejuvenates you going forward. I always joke that it's not really a joke. You have Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Hashanah is the day for tshuva. And then you have Yom Kippur, and that's really the day for tshuva. And then you have Hoshana Rabbah, and that's really the day for tshuva. And there are some say that you can do tshuva until Hanukkah. And then there are some say you can do tshuva until Purim. And then there are some say you can do tshuva until next Rosh Hashanah. So like everything, you can always do tshuva. Like what does this mean? You can do tshuva until. Because if you're constantly kind of excited, going from one to the next, you're excited for the next, you're working towards the next, and it keeps the energy going. So I think it's the same idea here. If you have the excitement of Purim that goes into Pesach, the excitement of Pesach hopefully will go into Shavuos, and whatever it will go into, and then the excitement of Shavuos will go into Tisha B'Av. I don't know what it's going to go into, but I'm saying it will go into whatever it will go into, so then it keeps you going on and on and on. But I think that this is really a powerful lesson. The fact that they added this holiday and they got excited about it, and that made them excited about the entire Torah, because people like to give this mushel, they like to give this analogy that life is like an escalator. And if you're not going up, you're going down. And I gotta say, I've always disliked that analogy, because I've never once felt like life's like an escalator. You know, I mean, maybe it is. Escalators get broken all the time, so life's like an escalator. I don't know. But like, it doesn't make sense. I don't think it's a great analogy, life's like an escalator. So I was thinking, again, what? I think it's more like a roller coaster. Life's like a roller coaster. If you're not going up, you're going down. If you're not going forwards, you're going backwards.
Sideways, upside down. All over the place.
You know, a couple years ago, Yaf and I went to, we only had one kid at the time, and we went to Six Flags, and it was like a Monday, and there was no lines, and we got on the roller coaster, and we're like, that's awesome, and then we got on the next roller coaster, and we're like, that's awesome, and we both started to like feel sick, but neither of us wanted to admit it. So I was like, do you want to go on a roller coaster? She's like, no, let's just get something to drink. I was like, yeah, let's get something to drink. It wasn't until after that we admitted that two roller coasters in a row made us sick. We weren't so old, 26. Anyway.
Escalators can never break, they just become stairs.
Yes.
Is that
that? Yeah. Sorry for that.
Sorry for the convenience.
But I was thinking, it's more like life's like a house. Because people are always going to say, I'm just trying to keep status quo. You know, I'm not growing. I'm not shrinking. I'm just trying to keep status quo. But if you're just trying to keep status quo on your house, if you buy this beautiful house and you say, I just want to keep it a beautiful house. So then if you say, I'm not going to do anything to it, I'm just going to let it be a beautiful house. What's going to happen is it's going to get dirty and the shutters are going to fall off and you're going to have gophers in the front yard and the backyard. Let me tell you. and whatever else is going to happen, it's just the house is going to deteriorate over time. The only thing that's going to keep that house status quo, the beautiful house, is if you keep putting the work into it. You keep painting the house. You keep cutting the grass. You keep making sure that the lines of the grass stop where they're supposed to stop. They're not going into the sidewalk. They're not going into the street. You keep doing those upgrades. And if you do the upgrades, so then it keeps the house beautiful. And I think it's the same idea here, that if you keep doing those upgrades, so then it kind of has a reflection on the whole thing. The Jews, they made this new holiday. They got excited about something. They added on to their Avodas Hashem, and that helped the entire thing. Because really, up until then, the Medrash talks about how it was really Mordechai versus the Jews. And I know it doesn't seem that way from the words of the Megillah, but it was really Mordechai versus the Jews. He said, don't go to Achashverosh's party. And what did they do? They went. And he said, and everyone wanted to bow down, and he didn't bow down. And he was kind of, for him not bowing down, they saw him, they're like, what are you doing? You're trying to kill us. It was like, it was him versus the Jews. And it wasn't until they all got on the same page, and they saw the Yad Hashem, they saw this miracle, and they got excited that it was not only excitement about this one thing, but it was excitement about the entire Torah all together. So hopefully we'll all have a Freilich and Purim, a very exciting Purim, and it will be exciting not just in the fact that you'll get to see my awesome costume, my bubble machine, but it'll be exciting that we'll find ways to get more excited to have a great year following. Please.
Now, I want to ask you.
Yes.
You said that we receive the Torah.